This is Will's Band of the Week for April 28th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hey there.
We've got some background music for the podcast this week. Listen to that. It's band practice.
Yeah, I came in a little late today. I think you wanted me here at noon so we could get it done before the practice. But they're sounding good. It's very. I'm not sure how much the microphone is picking up. But I'd imagine it's pretty.
I bet it's loud. Pretty clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, some podcasts they're done in professional studios,
right.
where you know it's perfectly quiet. You could hear the proverbial pin drop, right?
Right.
Here, we would not be able to hear a pin drop right now.
No.
Absolutely not. So anyway, it's band practice. You guys get to hear a little bit of Grant's band. And, this is an oldie but goodie they're playing. And they haven't played this song for a long time. So, all right, let's see. What are we doing? It's kind of like we're like in a nightclub or something.
Yeah, it's hard. It's kind of hard to concentrate.
Yeah, usually we're just, but, like, totally in a...
Yeah.
In a,
we'll get dialed in, though.
I think we will, yeah.
Our professionalism will shine through.
Yeah.
But... What if Grant's band gets really famous someday, right? And somebody has a recording of this, and they're like, "We got to get a, you know, these are valuable recordings. But we got to get rid of these goofballs,
right?
That are talking about some music that nobody remembers,
right? They'll try to get some kind of filter that they can get rid of our voices.
Get rid of us.
Yeah, it's like removing the vocals for karaoke. They'll get rid of us. Yeah. Do you think when like Bono was 15, like his dad was recording something, and U2 was down in the basement playing.
Exactly.
Funny concept. Could be the same here. Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to do this week.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
Unfortunately, there was more than one death this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think we probably should talk about the most significant. That would have to be Richie Havens, right? I mean, that's a name that I heard over the years.
Yeah, they're both pretty big. I'd say George Jones is a bigger deal.
You know, the reason I wasn't giving George Jones the cred is that George Jones wasn't he just like a pure country artist?
Yeah.
I mean, so he's almost like off the category of the podcast.
Right.
Now the dog wants to be in on this too. On
that's
the
true.
Noise fest.
What if like Luciano Pavarotti died? Would he?
Yeah.
Would we talk about that?
Probably not. We would just maybe mention it just like we just like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't even sure. Like I went back because I was like, well, okay, if George Jones was this famous and he gets talked about like being buddies with Johnny Cash or whatever, then... I should probably see what he sounds like. And so I sampled a couple things on Spotify. It sounded really just pure country and not, I maybe didn't give it much of a chance, but it wasn't even like the cool classic country. It was kind of like the country that I don't like very much.
Yeah, you should. I mean, his career spanned from the 50s.
Yeah, he was like
today.
80, right? I mean, so
yeah.
Yeah, if you went back to something early, maybe I would like it more.
Yeah, if you want to. There's one song I actually like quite a bit.
Okay, let's
find it. It's either called The Door or The Closing of the Door. I can't remember. But I'd heard a lot about him, so I went out and bought his greatest hits some years back. And that's one that I liked quite a bit.
Looks like there's one called The Door. That must be it. Here
That's
we go.
It.
Let's play some of it.
I've heard the sound of my dear old mama crying, and the sound of the train that took me off to war, and the awful sound of a thousand bombs exploding, and I wondered if I could take it anymore. There were times when they almost drove me crazy, but I did my best, I took it like a man.
So that's got kind of that classic country sound.
Yeah, what year would that be from?
I don't know, like sometime in the 70s, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it's on a lot of his greatest hits compilations. Yeah.
So he died, and then the other one was Richie Havens.
Richie Havens. Now, he... It's interesting. He's one of these guys that I heard his name so much, and then when I went and listened to his music, there wasn't that much that I really knew, but he was famous for being at Woodstock, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's like his name stayed out there where you really heard about him a lot, though.
Right. Yeah, I don't... Aside from that live stuff he did at Woodstock... Hearing that, I don't know that I've heard anything else.
So I went back on Spotify to look for some Richie Havens, and I found he did this song called Ooh Child that I remember when it was a hit by somebody else in the, like, maybe early 70s, and I always kind of liked it. So let's play this, Richie Havens. Remember that song?
I do.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. Good and version.
That is too. Richie Havens. So, there was another death.
Who was the other one?
Christina Amphlett from the band Divinyls.
Oh.
Remember Divinyls?
I do.
They were one of those 80s synth pop bands.
I can picture a Divinyls cover where she's prominently pictured, right?
I think
like
so.
Like wearing some kind of a sequiny looking dress. How did she die?
I can't remember. Now you caught me being a bad music journalist.
No, not at all.
Yeah, well, I didn't know the answer. I'm supposed
That's
to know
okay.
this.
No, you know what? I think that I like just talking about things that we know, and if we don't happen to know it, not looking it up and like pretending that we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I was actually thinking about that a lot, how like a journalist, you're expected to do research, and when you write the story, they know that you didn't know all those things before you wrote it.
Right.
But in music journalism, there's kind of an assumption that you're bringing past knowledge to what you're writing about today. And, you know, if you read Pitchfork,
yeah,
you have these guys that, you know, maybe they'll write about whatever. I just saw somebody write about Yellow Man the other day, this reggae artist on Pitchfork. And they talked about it so authoritatively and in such detail about his past. And it just sounded like total horseshit.
So like, it sounded like it was obviously...
He just
like
looked it all up and they didn't... They're not, you know...
Yeah.
So this is the benefit. I've always got a bit of a problem with that.
This is the benefit of us being old guys.
Yeah.
See, we actually know stuff.
We know stuff.
We don't even research stuff.
Nope.
Every once in a while we do, but...
Sure. I mean, if we're doing a band, we can say, oh, yeah, they're from whatever, but if it's a...
Yeah.
You know, if it's a new band, it's not something we could have known before anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, good point.
So
I was never really a big fan of Divinyls, but they were kind of significant in the 80s, and this woman, Christina Amphlett, was known for being kind of, you know, the outrageous performer or whatever. In fact, there's this really overboard, if you look at, I think it's in the description of the band on Spotify where they do the bio, and there's some deal about her being like the greatest entertainer in the history of Australia. They were Australian.
Wow.
And it was clearly overboard, but anyway... Here's a song that Divinyls did called Boys in Town. Divinyls.
Yep, I'm doing a little research now. I don't mind giving stuff that we looked up as long as I acknowledge it, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like I'm not writing a research paper and pretending I'm coming up with this stuff.
Yeah.
But she died at age 53, and she died of a combination of breast cancer and MS.
Yeah.
Tragic, 53 years old.
It is. It's too young to go.
It is too young.
Well, I think we're done for the deaths of the week. Maybe we can
get
back on track and have everybody stay alive for a while.
Before, this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but one of the podcasters recently inched closer to death.
Yes. Yes, one of them did. One of us. And it wasn't me and it wasn't you.
No. Chris turned 40 yesterday.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, I suggested to him that now we're in the same category.
Just old people.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like old guy with an asterisk, right? Like he podcasts with old guys, but could still sort of claim to be a young guy.
39 39 is really young, but that 40, man, that's a new decade.
Yeah.
Life changes then. So maybe this will bring about some change. Maybe he'll be a little more mature on the podcast.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Maybe he'll tone down the jokes a little bit. Have a little more dignity, you know?
It might go the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's true. Could be like a backlash. Well, we'll see. All right. Oh, and we had one other thing. This is cool. A listener, Chris Reed, asked us if we've ever listened to Mac DeMarco. Have you ever listened to Mac DeMarco?
No.
I have a little bit. I think he was on the list, almost making it onto the podcast last year. But you know how it is, that elusive becoming podcast ready for our podcast, it's a hard goal to reach for some artists.
It is.
Yeah. So, and it, what was interesting is I listened to him for a, you know, for a little bit, kind of liked it, and then a few months later, now this is just like a month or two ago, my son told me about him. He said, "Hey, Dad, you should listen to Mac DeMarco." And then he came to town. We almost went. We almost went and saw him. And it was like, you know, 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night or something. So we just, he didn't, Grant was not quite enthusiastic enough to demand that we go. And I was kind of tired. And I'm like, okay, if you don't really want to go that bad, I guess we won't go. But so we came close to seeing him. So, yeah, he's, I think he's got two albums. At least his most recent album is called The Number Two. And so that, I think it's definitely, thanks to Chris Reed, we will now play a song from that album, which is called Freaking Out the Neighborhood. So we faded out Mac DeMarco and faded in band practice. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mac DeMarco's good.
Yeah, I just, during the, while that was playing, I showed Will one of the tags on my Shazam. Do you ever do that? Like you'll hear a song?
No,
this
I've
is
never
the
done
song
that.
Identification software.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So right. I was in the car listening to the student radio station here, WSUM. And he came on, and I was liked it enough to click and find out what it was. So, yeah, it's good.
Yep. Yeah, he's probably got a, I'd say his career is on an upward trajectory.
Yep.
Where he'll, like, his next album will be anticipated. So that means it's either going to get an 8.2 or a 5.4 by Pitchfork, because they'll either be, like, thrilled and the momentum will continue, or there will be hype. And then they will say it doesn't meet the hype, and therefore,
right,
bad score. Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah. Okay, a couple other items, because we never run out of items, do we? Well, we do. Actually, we will run out, and then the podcast will end. But I was reading... This will be my mini book review, okay?
Okay.
I was reading the autobiography of Chuck Panazzo, the bass player for the band Styx.
Yeah. Big afro guy. Right?
That was the drummer who had the big afro, I think. It was his brother, his twin brother. That's John Panazzo.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Who died, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, well, Chuck was the bass player. Did you ever listen to Styx?
Sure, I did.
You know, they were sort of one of the early progressive rock sort of bands, right? And then I think their first couple, two or three albums were really good, and then they got really like schmaltzy and terrible ballads and just became kind of an embarrassment, I think, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which one. The Grand Illusion. That was the one that hooked me.
Yeah, and I loved that when I was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, me too. I was maybe a little younger.
Yeah, the book is actually called The Grand Illusion.
Ah.
Because, you know, what are you going to call your book if you used to be in Styx? But
it Paradise kind of, Theater, maybe?
Yeah, you could call it that, yeah.
Or Mr. Roboto?
Yeah. See, that's where it got really bad. So he, it's a pretty interesting book. It's basically, in a way, it's kind of like the Bob Mould book because he's, it's the whole story of the gay man and the rock and roll lifestyle and how he doesn't always fit in and how he's, you know, mm-hmm. his own personal struggles and stuff. And, but what I really liked about it was that it's written from, you know, I've told you, like, the standard by which all books are now measured by me is the Steven Tyler book.
Uh-huh.
Right? You just can't stand to read it. Like, everything's in all capitals and exclamation points and stuff.
Right.
This guy, and they all have, like, a writer writing it with them, of course, professional writer. But it's written from a very, humble and, like, honest viewpoint, where mm-hmm. which makes it kind of easy to read, I think. And I think if you never listened to Styx, it might not be that interesting, you know. But I thought it was pretty well written and interesting. So.
Yeah.
And I thought about playing some Styx on the podcast, and I thought, no, I don't think we need to play Styx on the podcast. Just, you can find, if you feel like finding out about Styx, you can find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Older the better, really. They had an album called, what was that album called? The one that had...
Renegade? That's my favorite.
No. The one that had Lorelei on it.
Oh, yeah.
The song Lorelei. That was like a pretty cool song.
I remember that there was a song called Lorelei, but I can't remember how it goes.
Well, my friend Bruce, I remember, invited me over to his house. We were like 15. He's like, hey, I got this cool album by Styx. All right, now you got me. Like, now I got to play some. Here it is. Oh, let me find it.
Hey, if we have a band, you, me, and Chris, we should call ourselves Styx, STIKS.
Could do that. We'd probably get sued, though. Okay, I found it. It's on all these greatest... Oh, Equinox. That's what the album was called. Here, we'll just play a little bit. This is kind of a cool keyboard thing.
She moves without a sound. I call her on the telephone. She says be there by 8. Tonight's the night she's moving in, and I can hardly wait.
You know why Styx sounds horrible to modern listeners? The voice and the lyrics are awful.
Yeah, yeah.
The phrasing and the tone of his voice.
Yep, it's 70s, you know. Yeah, and this is basically when I thought they were really good. You know, it's a little bit different listening back on it now.
Sure,
but they were the weird story of a band that I think kind of got progressively worse as their career went on. And now they've got the old singer, Dennis D. Young, and he was like the singer-songwriter for like most of the hits, the early stuff. He split with the band. It's kind of like Journey, getting that guy that sounds just like the other, you know, whatever. And so Styx got this other guy to sing all of his songs, and they tour, and they're still playing around like crazy. But the guy who replaced Dennis DeYoung has this keyboard that spins around on the stage, and it looks totally ridiculous.
Right.
It's one of the worst. Like, it's just really bad. Anyway, I shouldn't say bad things about Styx because Chuck Panazzo seems like a pretty nice guy, and his autobiography was pretty good. So, all right. Oh, and one more item. There's more.
Wow.
I just wanted to mention that my son hooked up my turntable and my old tape deck last week. He started playing records. He bought a record.
Nice.
Went up to the store, and guess what? His first record. How many people can say that this was the first LP they ever bought?
Is it new or used?
It's new.
Kurt Vile.
It's not a new release, but it was a new record. It's like 4 or 5 years old.
Let's see. I'm going to think of Grant. I'm going to say it's Yuck.
It, you just can't guess this one. He went on and bought the first album by the band Women.
Oh.
Which is kind of a noisy rock band. Yeah. Weren't they from Vancouver?
I don't know. I remember talking about them, but I...
Anyway.
That's the last thing I thought about.
Yeah, so pretty cool. So, yeah, I was pretty excited about it. So, and my tape deck failed. I had an old tape deck, and I thought, well, this is great. You can hook this thing up. Had it down in the basement. Well, it'll turn on. It will forward. It will rewind. But it won't play. That's kind of a key problem. Yeah.
Of all the functions, that's the one. If you only had one function, that would be... That one you want to keep.
So I went and found him another tape deck at Goodwill. And it was a dual, you know, it had two. And I thought, if something's wrong, I thought if one doesn't work, we can use the other one. Well, it doesn't work either. I got to return it now. I'm lowered to returning something to Goodwill.
That's a sad thing.
Isn't that bad?
How much was it? $25?
It was $13.99. Yeah. I might go back and see if I can get the one that's only $7, but I'll have to bring a cassette with me and plug it in and make sure it plays.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. No reason to spend big on a cassette deck, but there might be a challenge to find one that works. So. All right. It's like a long introduction before we finally...
Yeah, we're almost 30 minutes in here, and we haven't talked about any... new music.
The featured bands.
We talked about old country music.
Yeah.
We talked about Styx.
Yeah. I mean,
you know.
Richie Havens. Yeah. We cover it all here.
Yep.
Except for probably some people who are thinking, why won't they talk about my favorite band? Right?
That's right.
I'm sure there's a lot of music that we just never talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
Like we missed Mac DeMarco, but somebody made sure that we mentioned him. So, all right, we're going to talk about Kurt Vile, and Kurt Vile has a new album.
Yes, yep, he's the ex-guitarist for the War on Drugs, right? And from Philadelphia, which I knew from talking about him before, so I can count that as prior knowledge.
I think this is his second appearance on the podcast. I think so.
Yeah,
that one called "Does It Smoke Ring for My Halo?"
Yeah,
right. We talked about that one.
That was
one
of my top tens, whatever year that one came out. This one's called "Waken on a Pretty Days," DAZE.
Yeah, and then the first track is "Waken on a Pretty Day," so it throws you off there a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what did you think?
It's a solid album. It's a good album.
It is solid.
And one thing that's interesting, because you know how I always have to make some comment about the bass, right?
Yes.
This album has several songs that seem to not have any bass guitar in them.
Mm.
And I think it's okay. It gives it kind of a unique sound.
Yeah.
And that'll get me into trouble with the bass players union, but hey guys, they sometimes don't need us. Sometimes they can do an album without us. So I think there's some bass in here, but there's some where it's just distinctively not there, which I'll point out when I pick my track. But why don't you start out?
All right. I'm going to pick the third song.
That's called Was All Talk.
Know what that one sounds like to me?
What?
Do you have a guess?
No, I don't.
The Meat Puppets. Remember them? Were you?
Wow.
I was way into them in, like, when would that have been? 84, 85, and 86 in that range. And they have an album from 1980, I think it was 86, called Up on the Sun. That's one of my favorites of all time. So one of these days I'll come in and that'll be my thing. I won't listen to anything new. I'll just review that album.
That maybe would be good. Like a band that I've heard of a lot, but haven't really heard much of.
Yep. So I picked that song because it sounds a lot like it. Guitar.
It was kind especially. Of like Fast by Kurt Vile standards, right?
Yep.
There's a fast
and a little bit more filled out, and you know.
Yeah.
The songs are usually kind of more spare.
This is a really long album, and the first song is 9.5 minutes long. The last song is 10.5 minutes, and in the middle there's one that's 7:42 and one that's 8:04. So
yeah,
but I think he could sort of get away with it. I mean, I still kind of have an issue that the 10-minute song you could make it 6, you know, or whatever.
I do too.
But on the other hand, he does have a style that sort of works okay for doing that, I think.
Right,
and he has this way of, you know, it's, I don't want to say lazy, but you know, the way he sings, he'll sometimes just not quite hit the note that he's aiming for.
Right.
And it's kind of maybe on purpose, right?
Yeah.
It seems like he, you know, it's just sort of a stylistic thing.
Right. Kind of a practiced, laziness.
Yeah. It's like there's a glide and then there's that note, but he doesn't quite get there.
Certainly doesn't sound like he's trying too hard.
Right.
I think that's what he's trying to get across.
Yeah, I think
and
that's
like,
right.
Maybe these long songs, like, I guess I could have cut it down, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But I do have a problem with, you know, a 9-minute song to start off the album, you know, and it's not like some Bob Dylan song with a bunch of verses that you want to listen. It's just really just two times longer than it needs to be for no apparent reason.
Yeah, and it's a really good 4.5 or 5 minute song, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't need to be 9, but it's okay. I'm all right with it. I'm going to give him a break because I like the album overall.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to play probably one of the poppier ones. You can figure I'd pick the poppier one, right?
Yeah.
Number 5, Never Run Away.
You had it on my day, you had it on. You had it on my day. Each morning we met is just almost gorgeous days. I know you'll never run away. You met a young man who was a wild child, who harmonized his keys and his drumming mind. Saxophone sang from his side.
Vile.
Yep. What would he sound like with no reverb?
I don't know. This is a reverb-y album.
Yeah.
And I kind of generally like reverb.
So do I.
So I think it's good.
But it does tend to make people sound better.
Yeah, especially if, you know, if that's what you're kind of going for, that kind of feel. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this one, again, this track, very notable for no bass. And so this is what I was thinking. Do you think if I recorded a bass track on it,
mm-hmm.
and then sent it back to him, I think maybe one of two good things could happen. One would be they could put it out as Never Run Away, Will's Band Remix.
Yes.
Right? That's, you just call it a remix, even though it was just me adding bass, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is maybe they would want to hire me as the touring bassist, right?
Both of those
add
things.
A little bass.
So those are the only two possible outcomes of this project.
I
can think of one more.
What would that be?
That you just never hear anything about it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's absolutely most likely.
I don't know why I'm such a pessimist. I think you should play bass on the whole album.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might do that. You know,
put it out on YouTube.
Do you think that in the studio master, and we could talk about the whole album, but that song in particular, do you think there's a bass track? I bet you that I would not be surprised at all if there is one where they were like, God, should we have bass in this or not? And then they just said, nah, let's just leave it out. I like it sparse.
I don't know.
So, yeah. That's a question that has an answer that we do not know.
Right.
Because we're not professional journalists. We would have contacted his management company if we were prepared for the podcast, right?
Yeah, it seems, though, that I don't know if it were me and I had somebody come and do all the bass parts, I'd at least have it in there a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be hurting their feelings.
I mean, maybe Kurt Vile played it himself.
That could be.
Yeah. He could do whatever he wants.
That's
his
true.
Album. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it'd be like the movie people who have like a part in a movie and then they just never use it, right?
Right.
It's like the proverbial cutting room floor.
Right.
Right. I mean, that does happen to actors sometimes. Like
Burt Reynolds' part in Godfather Part 2 got cut.
Yeah. So it's on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So Kurt Vile.
Yeah, we got to play more. That's only two. So what do we got?
Well, let's just go ahead and play the first one.
We won't play the whole 9.5 minutes, but we'll give
them an
idea.
Waking on a pretty day.
Kurt Vile, Waking on a Pretty Day, from the album Waking on a Pretty Days.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That song has bass. It's kind of low-key, though. It's like it's definitely not at the forefront. Some would say bass isn't supposed to be at the forefront. So
you should have told the listeners you were playing along on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, here's an example of what I would do with the
remixes.
Right,
I could be standing here in the new, not quite remodeled, but the new and improved fourth-bedroom studios that my wife cleaned up because she was able to get rid of some filing and stuff. So we got a little bit more space in here. We could put a little amp in the corner, I think, and do some live stuff. Maybe we could get some bands to play live in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. There are like 8 people in the room.
Yeah. Or what's that other band?
The Polyphonic Spree.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll start big. I mean, we don't aim low. We aim big. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we gave him a pretty good flavor of Kurt Vile. The whole album, though, I think is pretty solid. It's really, if you like those songs, I think that we've played, I think you could put the album on and you just let it go. Mm-hmm. And it goes pretty well,
yep.
I think. So, yeah, positive review. Band practice is still going strong.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what this sounds like because, you know, Chris's, his dryer or his furnace, both of them.
Yeah.
You can kind of hear them in the background. And those are relatively quiet things.
Right.
But this is not a quiet thing.
No.
If you can feel this, they're downstairs and we're on the main floor.
Just one floor.
You can
above.
Feel it in your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
it's rock and roll.
They're rocking out down there for sure.
Yep. All right, let's
maybe
let's
they
move
want
on.
Us to go down there and we can volunteer to be the vocalists. What do you think?
Sure, they'd love
think
that.
They'd go for
yeah. They've practiced a couple times with two other guys so that they have like right now they're just guitar and drums. And so they have another friend who plays guitar and another friend who plays bass. So they've had like two or three practices with four people in the band. And, you know, it really fills out the sound a lot. But the issue, when I was asking Grant how it went, he's like, it kind of feels like starting all over, you know, because they're trying to teach these guys the song. It's like, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's the band thing, you know. There's a new album by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Yes, you told me that.
Sometimes called OMD. Now, did you listen to them? This is a band that dates way back to like the early 80s. They might have even like formed in like 1979 or something.
Yeah.
Not sure, but
all I know is the song Enola Gay from the Erg Music War soundtrack.
That was their biggest hit, Enola Gay. And well, their first couple of albums I really liked, and they were just super cool. And I saw them at Merlin's in March of 1982. Remember Merlin's on State Street?
I've always heard about it, yeah, but I didn't come until 85.
So they
were gone by then.
Somebody got shot like outside the bar or something, and then it just abruptly closed, and that was it.
Where exactly was it? What's there now?
I think it was on the same block as Zorba's, which is now whatever that other.
That's the Takara.
Right.
Now. Oh, no. Yes. Yes.
Is it? I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the block that it was on. It was on the second floor.
Okay.
So you'd go in, you'd go up the stairs, and it was just a classic old rock and roll club. You know, and it was...
They had a bar and stuff?
It was good. Yeah. Yeah, they had a bar. Like, if it's a rock and roll club, of course it has a bar, right? It's got to have a bar. Yeah. And, you know, some famous bands played there. REM played there, and The Police played there. And I think U2 might have come through there, but I saw them when they were at Headliners, the other. Mm-hmm.
No, I do know they played there.
And
just from hearing about it.
So OMD at Merlin's, it was great. It was just really cool. So they were, you know, sort of synth poppy, but kind of had a cool vibe to them. And so now they've got an album, and they've done some things in between, but never anything that I ever thought was very exciting. And now this new album I really like. It really kind of captures the old sound, but still sounds good, I think, today. And the album is called English Electric. So these guys are like probably as old as me. Imagine that.
Wow.
And still playing some cool synth pop. Did you listen to this album at all?
I did not.
So you're going to be introduced to some new OMD music.
Yes.
So let's start with track 5, Helen of Troy.
Stupid girl, stupid
Yeah, that sounds very much of that time. Sounds 30 years old.
Yeah.
In a good way.
They never had really complicated melodies or anything. They were always pretty... Some of their songs were, and even on this album, are just like, the melody's so simple, you say to yourself, God, you know, can I really buy into this? But somehow they have like the right attitude about it. They throw in little sound effect, cool little things, and it's cool. I like it a lot. So let's see, what are we going to play next? There's one song in this album. It's kind of funny to me because it's a 12-track album, and track 10 sounds like, hey, let's redo Enola Gay. That's what this sounds like. It's very funny. You'll probably notice that this song sounds a lot like Enola Gay. So let's just call this like Enola Gay Update 2013. This is called Dresden. Now the band is really rocking. Listen to that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was OMD.
That did sound like Enola Gay.
Yeah, it had like the bass. Again, I'm talking about bass again, but that whole bass sound and kind of a real similar song.
Yep.
But most of this album is more like the previous song that I played, with electronica type stuff, and pretty consistent and pretty good. So, let's play one more. This is like sort of the opening track because it comes after 45 seconds of stuff. But this is a good one. It's called Metroland.
Yeah, the contrast between what's going on in my headphones and what's going on downstairs, it's pretty stark.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. We've never tried to record a podcast during band practice before, but we've got to do something different every once in a while, right?
Yeah, that's... That's kind of his world premiere. Not world premiere, but maybe the first time he's been heard outside of North America, right?
See if you can put the mic up to the vent.
All right, here goes. Here we go.
There's only the chord isn't that long. It's about as close as you're going to get. Yep. Yeah. So it's interesting because Grant likes to do the noise rock stuff, and William likes to do like the poppier stuff. So they switch back and forth. So their band has this interesting, you know, contrast.
Yeah,
and sometimes they like, you know, don't like each other's songs and stuff. But generally they do.
That happened a lot. Like,
yeah, a little tension. Hopefully it's healthy tension in the band, right?
That happened in the Replacements. You know, Westerberg wanted to do lots of slower, you know, more melodic songs, and the other guys are like, no, come on.
Yeah, there's a big there's a big difference between some of their loud thrashy stuff and then, like, you know, Waitress in the Sky or Kiss Me on the Bus.
That's not a bad dynamic to have that tension.
Right. Yeah. So, and then when they stop playing, it seems so quiet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
All right. Well, by the way, that was Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, otherwise known as OMD, and the album is called English Electric. And, I can't really listen to them objectively because I have this frame of reference from the early 80s that I always liked them. So I like this a lot, too. So I don't know. I'll be interested to hear what people think. Like, what does it sound like to a person who has never heard them before? Mm-hmm. Does it sound like Kraftwerk or something? I don't know.
A little bit like Kraftwerk, a little bit like Yaz. Remember Yaz?
Yeah. Yep. That's like the poppier synthy stuff. Yeah. Right. Right. That was Alison Moyet, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a song that when I was in college, there was this one Yaz song that we really liked. Let me see if I can find it. I remember the album was Upstairs at Eric's.
Oh, yeah. There it is, that third one.
There it is. Yeah. This is the song we really liked. It's called Two Pieces, spelled T-O-O. Wow, that's total 80s synth pop, isn't it?
Yaz is awesome, though. You know, I mean, they've got that synth pop thing along with kind of like the soulful singer.
Right.
Who has ever done that besides Yaz?
Yeah.
Or is that the British called them Yazoo? Did you know that?
Yes.
Why did they switch? Why did they call him Yaz in the United States?
I don't know.
I guess Yazoo sounds kind of goofy, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember them being both Yaz and Yazoo, but again, we'll be bad music journalists and not know the answer to that. But yeah, they were Yaz and Yazoo.
This is one of Wilson's favorite things, was that album.
Cool, that's great.
I was playing it one time, and he remembered there's like a little piece of a commercial. The song Situation is in like a commercial for whatever. Like,
uh-huh.
You know, Progressive Insurance or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, I know that song. And ever since then, he's kind of loved it.
That's good.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, I think we've covered some pretty good random stuff. Not we random. Have. I said random because just as we were talking, I was looking at my list here where I made the random song of the week jingle. But I won't play it yet. I got to keep people, you know, anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, because sometimes we need a random song, I'm thinking, you know.
Definitely.
Last week I felt like I needed a random song. So.
Now, random being...
Well,
randomly generated by iTunes
whatever. I mean, yeah. You know, something that we have not planned on. And so what I did last week is I just started going through my iTunes on random play.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kept skipping things because I was like, nah, I don't want to play that. Nah, I don't want to play that. So it was only semi-random.
Right.
It was about the 10th song that I got to. I was like, okay, yeah, we could play this one.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
I guess means that my iTunes library has some stuff in it that maybe I have to admit is like not my favorite music anymore.
Right.
You know, that's the way it goes.
It's like, remember on Facebook, there used to be those things where people would say, okay, put your iPod on random and honestly write the first 10 that come up. And whenever I did that, I'd always be tempted to kind of lie a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Especially if it started off bad.
You'd right. Be
like, no, I'll just do it till one, you know, I get a good one at least for the first one.
Exactly.
And then I would be honest after that, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just try it and see what happens.
All right.
And now it's time for the random song of the week.
Silent, like the spirit of original film, straight out as the drama and the test try to reach you, reaching out from east to west.
Well, Robert Pollard came up first. That's yep. A good song, I think.
Yeah, sounds nice.
When you have a good, when you have a person this prolific, it kind of increases his chances of showing up on the random playlist.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So if we skipped that, we would get a song by Girls. Yeah. So, it's not so bad. So anyway, every once in a while, we're going to need a random song. So now I've got us prepared. Have we given the listeners their money's worth this week?
Definitely. What are we at here?
Well, we're over an hour, even with the editing we have to do. This is going to be definitely over an hour. So whatever you paid for the podcast, just think about how much you got for your dollar, and I think you'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And, there's like a lot of good music out there, and I say this all the time, but I think like now is really we're in the heart of the batting order right now for 2013 releases. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
stuff that's already come out, stuff that's about to come out.
3, 4, and 5 hitters.
Yeah.
Up right now.
Right. That's what I said when I was running my relay race last weekend. I ran the River to River Relay, which everyone who likes running should do something like this at least once because it's really cool. So... You run 80 miles total, but with 8 people. So everybody's running an average of 10 miles total, but you have to run 3 times. So you're running through the rotation 3 times. It's just a really great, fun thing to do. And as I was running in this relay...
Are you the cleanup hitter on the running
team? On this team of 8, I was running 5th.
Wow.
And I told runners number 3 and 4... We are the heart of the lineup right here.
Yeah, I'd say.
And then somebody said, yeah, we're murderer's row, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's what we decided. So, yeah. all kinds of good music, and we're entering into secretive, confidential meetings where we discuss bands that we think might be worthy to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty secretive. Like, usually we have to, like, make sure the door is closed, and we've
right.
talked about that before.
Right.
Because, you know, if things leak, it's, who knows what might happen. Bad
Although
things could happen.
We are also open to suggestions, and one person did send one in.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. that's somebody that we yeah. would have talked about anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. That one will be...
Listen to it a little bit, and I need to listen to it some more, but...
Yeah.
Yep. Beginning to form some opinions about it.
All right. That one will be featured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's thank everybody for listening and then sign off. So, thank you everybody for listening, and we will be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @WillsBand. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.